Hi, we're Grace Life, and we'd love to help you discover Jesus' unconditional love and grace for you.
Good morning, everybody. It's awesome to have you with us. This morning, we're going to start looking at increasing in prosperity. And I thought a good introduction or a good statement to make in the beginning is, if you've missed anything, you're not allowed to be angry. Because you've missed out on some fundamental building blocks in the series. And so if you don't understand something, I'm trying my best to explain everything to make sure no one's misunderstanding me. But you're just going to have to get the CDs and listen for yourself to make sure that you understand the context of what we're saying. And once again, I am trying to explain everything so that no one will be confused. But if you are confused, don't be angry. Just get the CDs and listen to them. You're also welcome to ask questions after the service. But we're going to look at increasing in prosperity. And, you know, the first point I want to make is that, you know, with prosperity, it's important for you to realize that God wants you to prosper. Okay, 3 John 2 says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers." So we've looked at it that God wants your soul to prosper. What is your soul? It's your mind, your will, your intellect, it's your heart, your emotions, it's all of that. He wants you to prosper there because that's the starting point of true prosperity. "Beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health." Prosper, in the original, it's giving the idea of not just prosper as in you're happy and you're doing well. That comes in with the soul. And it's not just talking about health. It explicitly says health there. But when it says that thou mayest prosper, it's talking about in business. It's talking about in things. It's talking about in stuff. And so although stuff burns, amen, and it doesn't last, God's interested in us prospering in tangible things too, not just one day when we go to heaven. And so the starting point of our prosperity is a merry heart, a happy heart, a good relationship with God. Then that should start to affect our health, and our health should be doing good. And then that would start to affect our pockets, our wallets. Amen? Because God wants us to prosper, and we've looked at the purpose of that. So I'm not going to talk about that this morning. Okay, but God delights in your prosperity. Psalm 35, verse 27 says, "Let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which is pleasure in the prosperity of His servant." So God wants us to prosper, and the scripture says that that's a reason to rejoice and be glad, to shout. And like I said last week, everybody who was here last week has failed the test. But when you start believing this, you're going to start shouting for joy and being glad when we read that scripture. Amen? Because it's a good thing that God wants us to prosper, that He wants us to do well, that He wants us to be able to look after our families, that He wants us to be able to have money and finances to partake in the kingdom, to advance His kingdom and reach people. That's the whole idea with all of that. The second point I want to make is prosperity, with regards to prosperity, is that God has set us up to prosper. It's not up to you to just prosper yourself, and it's not up to God to just prosper you. There's a partnership that takes place. Okay? Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3, "Blessed be God the Father, be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." And so this is saying you are blessed. Amen? And in our circles, we know this. We kind of like, "I'm blessed. How are you doing, brother? I'm blessed. How are you doing, sister? I'm blessed." You know, we're all blessed. Amen? But the point is when it comes to prosperity, what do we often do? "I'm prospering." But are you prospering? Because just because you're blessed doesn't mean you're prospering. God has blessed you, and you are blessed whether you see prosperity or not, but the blessing should result in prosperity. Okay, so how does it get there? Deuteronomy 8:18. "But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is He that gives thee power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant which He swore unto your fathers as it is this day." Okay, so the point with that is, you know, the one key there which many people look over is that it's saying you shall remember the Lord your God. Okay, and I think we get into it later, or I don't know if it's next week, but the point is that remembering God, how do we remember God? He gives us, firstly, let's look at it, He gives us the ability or the power or ability to get wealth. God doesn't give you wealth. God doesn't give you money. Okay? He doesn't. He gives you the ability to get money. So He gives you the creativity, He gives you the entrepreneurship, He gives you the idea. He gives you the skill or whatever it is. And then that gets wealth. That obtains wealth. That gets money. Okay? And the purpose of that is obviously to be a blessing to you and your family, but also that you may establish His covenant. For you to become a partaker and a partner in advancing His kingdom. Okay, and if you were here before the service, you would have seen that video of just how, as it was the countdown to the service, it's a video of how Christianity has spread over the decades and over the centuries. And it's amazing to see, but the job isn't done yet. There's more to be done. We still need to keep advancing the Christianity, keep reaching out with God's love and His grace. But how, you know, part of this whole prospering is remembering the Lord your God. So many people will rely on God to prosper and then forget about God. But in the whole prosperous process, remembering God is, one of the ways we remember God is giving thanks, saying thank you, polite, amen. How many of you like saying, like people saying thank you when you give them a gift? We all like it. But then when it comes to remembering God, it includes giving. Not forgetting that, hey, God, this, everything is from you, so I'm just giving back what's really yours. But I want to give a part of what I've got back to Him to help advance His kingdom. Okay? He gives us grace or the ability. He gives us grace, ability to get or obtain wealth. Okay? It doesn't just happen automatically. There's a part for us to play. Proverbs 10:22 says, "The blessing of the Lord, it makes rich, and He adds no sorrow with it." So you have the blessing, you are blessed, it's inside of you, but you aren't rich necessarily. That blessing inside of you is what makes rich, what produces wealth. He's given you the ability, the blessing, to obtain wealth, but you know, between having the blessing and seeing the wealth, seeing the rich, there's an obtain. Amen? That's what the scripture says there. The blessing of the Lord, it makes rich. And the other scripture was saying it gives us the power to obtain wealth. So it's a case of we've got to obtain it. Okay, we've got to grab hold of it. And how do we do that? Well, you know, before we say look at that, it's God's way of becoming rich adds no sorrow with it. I like that. The blessing of the Lord makes rich, and His kind of prosperity adds no sorrow with it. Okay? The world's way of becoming rich adds sorrow with it. Okay? What do we mean? Well, it's overwork. Work yourself until you need to go to the doctor. Until you die. You know, when you start straining relationships in your family and in your marriage to be able to get wealth, you're not in God's balance. You're not functioning as God's called you to function. If you're chasing money more than you're above relationships, you're wrong. Because that's just, you can burn money. Relationships are an eternal thing. Okay, so you know, God's way of becoming rich adds no sorrow with it, but the world's way means you have to overwork, you lose your health in the process, stress and strain on relationships, you lose your family. But God's way doesn't add sorrow with it. And so we want to look at how does God prosper us. And in this series, we're probably not going to cover everything, but we're busy planning a kind of like a maybe a Saturday morning seminar or something like that, where we'll talk about practically how to prosper. You know, looking at the gifts and talents that you have, and how can you make that, you know, monetize that. And this isn't just for someone who doesn't have a job or doesn't have their own business. This is for everyone. Because we can all have multiple streams of income, but that's another story. Deuteronomy 28:8 says, "The Lord shall command the blessing upon you in your storehouses." Everyone say storehouses. "And in all that you set your hand unto. And He shall bless you in the land which the Lord your God gives to you." Now, firstly, this is saying when you put your hand to something, the blessing flows. Okay, that's when prosperity comes, when it starts to become tangible, is when you put your hand to something. What is that? Work. Thank you. It's not a dirty word. It's a four-letter word, but it's not a dirty word. Okay, work. Some people freak out when you start saying work, but work is good. God gave Adam and Eve work to do before sin came into the world. So work isn't part of sin. Okay, so that won't be so shocking today because tomorrow's a public holiday. And most of us aren't working. But the point is that work is a good thing. Okay? God's not going to force prosperity on us because we need to step out in faith and trust in Him and then put our hand to something so that the prosperity can come, so that the prosperity can flow. Okay? We're going to come back to this verse in a moment. But firstly, what is prosperity? Okay? God's standard of prosperity. 2 Corinthians 9 verse 8. 2 Corinthians 9 verse 8 says, "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work." Now, I think that that's something which all of us would want. Okay? All sufficiency, meaning much more than enough. When we looked at it previously, we've already looked at this verse. It says excess. Okay? It's not talking about, hey, you need 100 bucks, here's 100 bucks. It's talking about having excess. Okay? Many of us, we limit God because we're trusting for enough. We're not trusting for more than enough. And because we don't have all sufficiency in all things, we can't abound to every good work. We can't be generous towards every good work. What is the good work? The good work of spreading the gospel. There's no better work than that. Than spreading the good news, which is of eternal value to people. You know, this is a matter of life and death for people. This is a matter of heaven or hell. That's why we want to give into the gospel. That's why we want to expand the kingdom. Okay? So, having an abundance in all things is God's desire for us. Obviously, that means then you're blessed and you're enjoying the fruits of your labor, but you're also being able to partake by giving into the kingdom. Okay? You know, for the purpose of being generous, we want to have an abundance in all things for the purpose of being generous. Okay? Being part of God's solution to the world. Okay? To the problems in the world. But we need to understand something, and I think this is the biggest thing that I think we all need to understand, and a lot of people miss when they start studying prosperity or listening to prosperity teachings and all this. Remember, we looked at it, I think, a week or two ago. When we're talking about prosperity, we're not talking about greed. Okay, we're talking about an abundance for a purpose, and that purpose is so that your family is looked after and that the kingdom advances. Okay, we're not talking about greed. Okay, you can only sleep in one bed at a time. Okay, how many bathrooms do you really need? You can only drive one car at a time. We're not talking about greed, we're talking about prosperity for a purpose. Blessed family advancing the kingdom. Okay, but what we've got to understand is that prosperity doesn't mean you're going to be a millionaire. Sorry to disappoint some of you. It means that for some of you, it might mean you're going to be a millionaire, but for majority of people, maybe not. Okay. Now, I think the biggest thing with this is, be it according to your faith. Amen. So you determine your level of prosperity, but prosperity doesn't mean you're going to be a millionaire. Okay. God's level of prosperity is all sufficiency in all things so that you may abound to every good work. But I don't see the word million there, and it's not even in the Greek. Okay? So it's not there. So I'm sorry to disappoint you, but there's a reason why I'm bringing this up, because it means that you're going to prosper to the degree that you allow it. Your prosperity isn't determined by God. Now, everyone look at the person sitting next to you, because you're all looking at me funny. Look at the person sitting next to you. You've all got the same blessing inside of you. We are all blessed with all spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. But we're not all putting our hands to the same thing. And some of us might not even be putting our hands to anything. And if you're not putting your hand to anything, the blessing can't flow, prosperity can't come, number one. But number two, what you put your hand to also determines the level of prosperity that comes back to you. Okay, it's pretty logical. It's determined by the size of your field. We'll look at that in a moment. But Deuteronomy 28:8 again. The Lord shall command the blessing upon you in your storehouses and in all that you set your hand unto. Okay, so now because we're in Christ, we have God's commanded blessing upon us. Okay, it's not determined by your obedience to the law anymore. Because you're in Christ, you're blessed. Okay, and so you've got God's commanded blessing upon you, upon your storehouse, and for some of us that might be a problem because there's nothing in the storehouse, but that's another story. But the point is that everything we put our hands to can prosper because of the blessing that's inside of us. And remember, that's talking about work. Okay, so let's say, you know, if you have a business, that means God's commanded blessing is on your business because you're in Christ. Amen? That's good news. You don't have to ask God to bless your business. Amen? Because it's blessed because you are in Christ. Okay, but if it's just a small business and you're the only employee, it can only prosper to a certain degree. Okay, now we're getting very practical. The business, you can only prosper to the level you allow. So if you're selling Cook Sisters at the Robot, you can only prosper in accordance to how many Cook Sisters you sell at the Robot. Right? Now, God can bless you in other means as well. Amen, I agree. But with regards to that business, it's not going to grow beyond you if you're the only employee. And so prosperity has a little bit more involved in it. And this is where we're getting a bit more practical. Okay, if I have a small veggie garden and my backyard is small. Okay, it's very small. But if I have a veggie garden in the back of it, you know, it's only going to prosper to the degree of space that I have. And then the success of what comes out of that. And I'm not going to be able to, you know, I'm probably only going to be able to have one veggie there. So if I have carrots, and I don't know how many carrots I would pull out of my garden, maybe, I don't even know. But let's say it's 100 carrots at a time. Yeah, how much can you sell a carrot for? I'm not going to be a millionaire, amen? Can you see what I'm getting at? But what I can do is we all start somewhere. And then God can prosper that business as I operate in faith and wisdom. And this is part of prospering in the kingdom. It's not just I'm giving to God and I'm blessed and so I'm going to prosper because I'm working hard. You might be working hard, but you might be working stupid. You might not be clever in what you're doing. And I mean that with all sincerity, but it's like, okay, you know, let me use my example wisely. let's say I don't know what everybody's doing work-wise, so if I choose your occupation, I'm sorry. But let's say, like, I decide I'm going to be a fashion designer. Me, Shane, I'm going to be a fashion designer. Okay, my sketching isn't so great. My sewing isn't so great. And maybe my eye for fashion isn't so great either. Some of you are saying amen, but don't. So now I put that all together, and I'm like, I'm coming up with the craziest clothes. And it's even crazier when I start making them, because my talent with the sewing machine isn't there. You know, I'm not going to prosper, right? Unless I start learning how to do it. And so the point is that I'm limited. If I'm operating in not in what God's called me to operate in, I'm not going to be successful at it. You can't be a square peg in a round hole. How many of you have watched Pop Idol or an equivalent of that? Come on, I don't think that you're unholy if you have. I love that program, but I stopped watching after the first round. Because it's amazing for me that some people think they've got talent and they're very sincere and genuine about it. The Wooden Mic Award is my favorite because you've got these people and someone lied to them somewhere along the line. And they trusted that person and that person told them, you're going to make it. And that was a lie from the pits of hell. And then they're like, I'm going to make it because that person that I love, my mother or my grandmother or whoever, you know, that they told me, they believe in me. So, you know, if I believe in me, I can do anything. No, you can't. If you can't sing, you can't sing. And then they get up there and they think they're the next Mariah Carey or whatever. And it doesn't work. You're not going to prosper just because you're blessed and you're a Christian. And God loves you, and you've got the blessing in you, and you're putting your hand to something, it's not going to work. But if you've got the talent for it, if you've got that, all of us have a talent or an ability inside of us, we just need to put it into action. And then the prosperity can flow. Okay, but you know what we've got to realize with that is that God is the one who gives us the blessing. God is ultimately the one who prospers us, but we've got to co-labor with Him in wisdom, in operating in wisdom, and then in faith. Okay, because we're the ones, according to our wisdom and according to our faith, we're the ones who determine the level of prosperity that we enjoy. Yeah, you might be operating in your sweet spot. You might have a business where it's like, it's your gift, it's your talent, it's your ability. And you're just such a kind-hearted, generous person that you can't really charge people for it. So you don't, you know, you're just like constantly giving away your product for free. That's why I need someone else to run the books and stuff. But, you know, so you just keep giving stuff away and you're just like, oh, you know what, I'll fix your car for free, or I'm a dentist, I'm going to fix your teeth for free. And we need to be able to do things for free and be generous like that as we feel led in our hearts and as the Lord leads. But you can't do it for everyone, otherwise how are you going to feed your family? How are you going to partake in the kingdom? By giving. It's not going to work. Deuteronomy 30 verse 9. The Lord your God will make the labor of your hands abundantly successful. How many of you want that? A few of you. That's awesome. The few of us can meet together afterwards and keep encouraging one another in it. Because God wants us to abundantly prosper in whatever we're doing. I like how it says abundantly successful. Not just, hey, he wants you to have enough. Abundantly successful isn't feeding your family. It's more than that. Okay? You can only feed your family so much. After that, it's gluttony. Okay? So, God will make the labor of your hands abundantly successful and multiply your children. Some of you said, no, thank you. The offspring of your cattle, the produce of your soil. For the Lord your God will once more rejoice over you to make you prosperous, just as you rejoiced over your ancestors. So the labor of your works, of your hands, is abundantly successful and blessed. But you've got to look at what is in your hands. What is in your hands? What are you doing with what's in your hands? Okay? You can't just like, oh, God bless my hands are blessed, my hands are prosperous, and then you're just putting them in your pockets, or you're sitting watching TV and you're using it to hold the remote. That remote doesn't need to be blessed. Okay? You need to do something more than just push the buttons. Okay, if you can make something, let's say sell cake. Let's say you're an awesome baker. We don't know you yet because we haven't enjoyed that yet. But let's say you're good at making cakes and baking cakes and all of that. And so this is your new your business, and it can prosper. It can be a blessing. But if you can only make 4 cakes a day, okay, and sell them at 150 rand each, you're only going to make 12,000 rand a month. If you're working 5 days a week. And that's nice for making cakes, but yeah, you want more than 12,000 rand a month, maybe. Okay, so you're not going to prosper if you just limit yourself to that. Maybe you would need to be a good steward of that. Firstly, you need to be a good steward of those finances that's coming in from the cake, and you're not just eating it or blowing it or burning it or smoking it or whatever you're doing with it, but you need to invest some of it back into your business. That's where the wisdom comes in prospering. Yeah, you got to learn wisdom from the family in the body of Christ, and from books or whatever, and from the Word. In that, you got to invest back into your business so your business can grow. But the second thing is, you know, if you want your income to increase, you're probably going to have to start making a few wise decisions which equal risk. Wise decisions which equal faith and risk. Risk. You know, someone said faith is spelled R-I-S-K. So you're going to have to start making wise decisions in faith and choosing to risk so that your business can grow. Otherwise, it's not going to grow. And by business, I even include Cook Sisters, like selling Cook Sisters. Maybe you need to employ someone to help you make so that you can make more, or go to 2 different robots and you have someone who you can branch out with. So it means you've got to expand, because you can't be everywhere at once. Okay, so that's what we're talking about in using the wisdom to prosper. Proverbs 12 verse 11. He who tills his land will have plenty of bread, but he who pursues worthless things lacks sense. Okay, so he who tills his land will have plenty of bread. How much land do you have? You can only prosper in proportion to the amount of land you have. Once that land is prospering, you know, if you got some job where you're seeing clients, and you can only see, let's say, 30 clients a week. You can only prosper according to 30 clients. And so you're going to need wisdom as to how can I increase here? How can I see more clients in the limited time that I have? And maybe it means adding in a product, adding in a service where the same people just pay extra for that same thing. But you can't see more people because you only got so much time. Okay, so you know, it might be, let me say this, as a believer, your business will be supernaturally blessed compared to the unbeliever. You've got to believe that. But you still got to use the wisdom of God to grow it. You still got to use the wisdom of God to sustain it. Okay? Yeah. The point is, you need to max out your field, and then you've got to get bigger field. You've got to increase your capacity so that you can be more fruitful. Because more fruitfulness isn't going to come if you've got the same size pot. I mean, if you've got a pot and you're making soup to sell, if that's a 5-liter pot, it's a 5-liter pot. It's not going to grow overnight. The pot can't change, but you can change by buying another pot or buying a bigger pot and making more soup to sell. Amen? It's very practical and it's very simple, but the point is often when we get into talking about prosperity and God blessing us and all of this, we think that it's just automatic and we don't have to do anything except love God. It's more than just loving God, okay? It's actually got probably very little to do with you loving God. It's got more to do with you realizing how much God loves you and then drawing on that wisdom that He's already offered to you so that you can be prosperous in what you're putting your hand to. Next point. Prosperity is a journey of trusting God and walking with Him in relationship and in faith. Now we're going to expound on the things that we've already looked at a bit. But the first point there with regards to prospering as a journey of trusting God is what we've spoken about up until now. And that is the first point I would put there is giving. Okay? Now, I'm not after your money. We've taken the offering. Amen? I've said that every service. The point of this is that money is the least use of your faith, and so it's important we look at it. Last week, I think it was, we looked at how Jesus spoke about money more than any other topic, and no one criticized Him for it. And so it's important that we take the right approach to finances and then we talk about it in church. Okay? But giving is important because you cannot increase in prosperity without giving. And I'm going to explain why in a moment. But let me say it slower. You cannot increase in prosperity without giving. Okay? It's not a slot machine or anything like that. That's not what I'm talking about. I'll explain it now. Giving is a sign that you're trusting God. And so if you're not giving, you're not trusting God, no matter how genuine you are. Okay? We need, you know, giving is an indicator. That's what Jesus said. Where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. Where your money is, that's where your heart will also be. So if your money isn't being invested into the kingdom, your heart's not there. And if you go to the next verse there in Matthew chapter 6, that means that you're not serving God, you're serving money. So if you're not giving, you need to kind of search your heart and see where your heart's at. Because giving is the least use of your faith. Okay? It's a sign that you're partnering with God and that you're inviting Him into your finances. Giving is one of the ways we invite God into our finances. He wants you blessed. He wants, you know, it belongs to Him anyway. And so giving a portion, He doesn't expect everything from you. He just wants a portion. Okay? Deuteronomy 8:18. And you can put it up and I'll read it in a moment, but let's say you have a partner who gives you wise counsel in your business. This partner gave you all the startup capital, they give you all the training of the skills that you need and everything like this. You know, when the finances start coming in, obviously you're going to remember your partner. Amen? You're going to start to remember your partner, otherwise it's not a partnership. It's just a one-way. And we're co-laboring, partnering with Christ. This says, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God. For it is He that gives you the power or ability to get wealth, that ye may that He may establish His covenant. Okay, so that says a number of things, and we've looked at it in depth already, but giving is how we remember God. Okay, it's our God, remembering God, our partner. Because everything, the ability that you had to get wealth came from Him. The creativity, the idea, it came from Him. You're not that bright. You couldn't do it by yourself. You needed God. Okay? So when we don't give, I don't believe that God takes His blessing away from you. You're still blessed. When you stop giving, God doesn't stop blessing you. He's already blessed you. It's independent of your performance. It's grace. But when you stop giving, you're stopping the flow of prosperity. God's not withholding. You're stopping. Okay? It's not God who's kind of punishing you or anything like this. It's you punishing yourself. Here's an interesting thought. You can give and not be in faith, but you can't be in faith and not give. Yeah, if you're in faith, you will give. If you're trusting God, you will give. But you can give and not trust God. I think we've already spoken a bit about that, but you can just meditate on that and think about it. Proverbs 3:9-10, easy to read version first. It says, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first part of your harvest. Then your barns will be full of grain. How many of you want barns full of grain? I don't have a barn. I couldn't do anything with grain. I'd prefer money. No, I'm joking. But the point is it's symbolic. Okay? Then your barns will be full of grain and your barrels will be overflowing with wine. I didn't ask the question about the last one because most of you would have said, yes, I want that. Proverbs 3:9-10 says, honor the Lord your God in the, in King James version, honor the Lord with thy substance. Okay? And with, it's not just with your grateful heart. Don't honor the Lord just with your grateful heart. Honor the Lord with your substance, something tangible. Okay? Honor him with something physical, with the first fruits of all thine increase, so that your barns will be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Okay, so verse 9 there first, honor the Lord with thy substance, with the first fruits of all thine increase, giving honors God. That's what it's saying. Giving honors God. And if you're a believer, I believe that in your heart you want to honor God. So if you're kind of like, well, I don't want to give, then we'll give an opportunity at the end of the service for salvation. Because in our hearts, we should want to honor God. Okay? Important principle, though, here is giving to God first and not last. Not what's left over, but up front, off of the top. That's why it says first fruits, okay, of all thine increase. And what this is really the principle from Matthew 6:33, which is seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. This is how one of the ways we seek first the kingdom of God. Okay, is giving into the kingdom, giving to God before we consume. Verse 10 says, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Giving into God's kingdom is not a way to decrease. Some of you see it as a way to decrease and you need to change your way of seeing things. Giving to God, according to this verse, is a way to increase. It's not a way to decrease. Okay? God's desire is that your barn, your storehouse, be filled with plenty of grain. He wants you to eat well. Amen? He wants you to have reserves. Amen? Now let me say this on the next part of that verse. Wine is unnecessary. We looked at it last week. For some of you, I know that that's a shocking statement, but wine is unnecessary. You can get by on water. Okay, some of you have faith to turn that wine and water into wine because you think it's necessary, but it's not. But even if you look at the scripture and it's talking about grape juice, which I don't believe it's talking about grape juice, but for those of you who believe it is talking about grape juice is also unnecessary. Okay, water is enough. Okay. The point is that God wants you to have an abundance of pleasures too. And many times when we start talking about giving, we're kind of like, oh, the church is just after my money. They want everything I've got. No, no, we don't. Now, after we first published Rooted, which is our discipleship guide, and there's three lessons at the end there on finances. God is your provider. I've forgotten the others. Prosperity and generosity. And someone read through it quickly and came to me and said, I think you need to take those three chapters out. And I said, why? And they said, because it comes across that the church just wants more money. And I said, did you read it? Like, I don't understand how you got there. If you go and read it for yourself, it doesn't talk about that really much. It's talking about how God wants you, He's your provider, He's your father, He's looking after you. It encourages you to be a giver and to be generous, but that's not the focus. See, when you criticize like that, or you've picked up that problem quickly, then it reveals the problem in your heart. If whenever there's the church starts talking about money, or the pastor starts talking about money, and you're like, oh, there they go again, it's revealing something in your heart. Otherwise, you're in the wrong church. And maybe they are talking about money badly, and they're just trying to wring everything out of you. Then leave that church, go somewhere else. But the point is like it's reflecting what's going on in your heart, okay? Because God wants you to have an abundance of pleasures. He doesn't just want you to have the bare essentials, Okay, that's what I'm saying to you. You know, he doesn't mind if you have ice cream after lunch. I like that too. He doesn't mind if you drink wine, or if you have some pleasure like that, or you have some hobby that you like. Now, you can take that to an excessive thing, and then I think he minds. But the point is that we need to realize that God wants us blessed. Okay? Now, what if you don't have a barn or a press? What if you don't have a storehouse? What if you don't have a savings or something like this? Well, I think an important point there is that you have to prepare for prosperity by faith. Okay? You have to prepare for the opportunity for prosperity to come. Okay, many of us miss the increase because we can't handle it. Let's say you're with your cook sisters at the robot and they're all gone in 10 minutes. And you didn't make any more. And you don't have anyone to call to ask to come. And then you just go home and it's like you've wasted a whole day where you could have had a whole bunch of increase, but you could only handle the 10 minutes of prosperity. Imagine if you had enough stock for the whole day. You know, that's what I'm talking about. Okay, we need to prepare for the increase. You know, we one example, and this isn't a very nice example, but I thought I'd share it with you. But we had a couple people over the past couple of months internationally wanting to give to the ministry, which would have been great. We could have used that. But with our online system of giving, it didn't work, and we didn't find out until too late. One person even said, you know, I tried and I tried and I tried and eventually I just gave up. And it's like, you know, we could have used that right now. And so it's like you need to prepare for the increase and make sure that the structures and everything is in place for you for that increase. So if you can't be trusted to give a portion, now we're talking about giving. If you can't be trusted to give a portion to God, then, you know, God's not going to entrust more to you. He'll still provide for you, but prosperity is not going to come. Okay, because like we've said, the smallest use of your faith is how you handle your finances. Luke chapter 16, verse 10. Whoever is faithful in the small matters will be faithful in the large ones. Whoever is dishonest in the small matters will be dishonest in the large ones. And this principle applies to everything, but in context, it's talking about money. Okay, you can go read the context. Now, an important point for us to look at is that it's not about how much you give. It's not about how much you give. Luke chapter 21, 1 to 4. Jesus looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts into the offering box. And he saw a poor widow put two small copper coins. And he said, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all of them. For they all contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she had to live on." And so the point there is many people think that the size is what matters. It's not, it's the heart. Remember, we started off this whole series by saying that Jesus talks about money because money is the greatest contender for your heart. And so God's after your heart. He's not after your money. He doesn't need your money. He paves his streets with gold. That's how much he doesn't need it. Okay? We're kind of chasing gold. We want gold. But God's like, "Oh, you know what? I'm just going to make this tar. This is what I want as my tar in heaven. You know, what I'm going to make my roads out of." The point is that when we're looking at the outward appearance, God's looking at the heart. He's not looking at the size of your gift. He's looking at, you know, are you giving this from a pure heart? What's your motivation for giving? Okay? Two small coins. Well, all that widow gave compared to the others, which maybe they were bringing in buckets of coins. I don't know. I wasn't there. But the point is that the widow gave 100% and the others gave just gave a little bit. It's not about the size of your gift. It's about the heart. They were parading their gifts too. That's not interested. God's not interested in you parading your gift. You know, another scripture says, "Don't let your right hand know what your left hand's doing." So don't, you know, don't give in front of everyone. It's like those gimmicks of there's 10 people here who are going to give 10,000 rand each. Praise God. Who is it? Close the doors. Who is it? You know, and then if you stand up, firstly you're honoring a scheme, and you're feeding a problem, but secondly, I mean, you're standing up and everyone's honoring you because you're giving. And someone here might be able to only give 10 rand, and that's more more from their heart than your 10,000 rand. You're just giving because you're manipulated. Anyway. Next point. Prospering is a journey of learning to trust God. So prosperity flows out of relationship with God. You cannot increase in prosperity without seeking to build a strong relationship with God. You know, that's obvious in the sense of making decisions with your business. It's obvious in the sense of using His wisdom, drawing on that, and then operating in faith. Matthew 6:33, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So we've got to seek first, seek His face, seek relationship with Him, seek intimacy with Him, His face, not just His hands. What can He do for you? What is He wanting to give you? But seeking His face, seeking relationship with Him. That's vital. Okay, and then out of that relationship, we draw in His wisdom. We make decisions. We follow the peace of God, Colossians 3:15. That's where we then are able to follow the peace of God in our hearts and making decision, because we have this relationship with God where we're constantly downloading from Him. Next point, learning to make decisions with God and according to the wisdom of the Word. We cannot increase in prosperity without growing in our knowledge of the Word. If you're growing in the knowledge of the Word of God, then you're growing in relationship with Him. It should be growing in intimacy and relationship with Him. And that is vital to increasing in prosperity. It's a whole lot easier to make good decisions when you know the Word. It's a whole lot easier to make good decisions when you know the Word. You know, when you know the Word, then if you have a feeling on your heart and you feel God's talking to you, you know what? It's easy to discern if it's God because you know the Word. If you have this feeling of God saying, hey, just take all your money and just burn it. And yeah, that's not God. And if you know God's character and His nature from the Word, then it's going to help you to stop doing that. Stop following the voice of the enemy. Now, I like to say life is as easy as hearing from God and doing what He says. But it's easier to hear from God when you know the Word. Okay? So make decisions according to the wisdom of the Word. You don't always need a God speaking in your ear voice, but there's words in the Word which you can follow. And you don't know what those words are until you get into the Word. Okay? So often we follow a feeling, and God might be impressing a feeling on your heart of what to do with your finances or something like that, or with your business, but it needs to line up with the wisdom of the world. I mean, the Word. Amen. With the wisdom of the Word. Not the wisdom of the world. The world has lots of wisdom, but often it contradicts. The world doesn't understand faith. Okay, so some wisdom from the Word. First, number one, use your money to affect your future. We spoke about this, I think, last week or the week before. Use your money to affect your future. That's talking about, number one, eternity. And we've looked at that. Take carnal things, money, and turn it into something eternal by giving into the kingdom. So that we can use that money to reach the unreached, to reach people, to establish believers, so that one day when you get to heaven, you've got people there because you gave. Okay? We've looked at that, so I'm not even going to touch on that. But another thing is that giving benefits you. Yeah, someone once contacted me. They were giving regularly to the ministry, and they contacted me and said, things have really just gone bad, so sorry that we didn't give this month. And I don't know who gives and who doesn't. But they just said, you know, sorry, we haven't given that month. And I said, you know what, it's okay. I said, but I want to encourage you. We don't need your money more than you need to give. I said, so even if it's 10 rand, please just give 10 rand. I said, we're not going to judge you for it, but just don't stop the flow. Just keep your heart open. You might feel too proud to give 10 rand only because your budget is too tight, but just give. Even if it's a small amount, it doesn't matter. It's about your heart, and then you're still a partner. Then you're still partaking with God. You're still partnering in the kingdom. Okay, Philippians 4:15-17. You know, with that, I mean, it's interesting, when things get tight, most people cut their giving. Not the ice cream or whatever else. But it's like, you know, giving should be a weighty issue for us that we're not willing to budge on. You people in Philippi, remember when I first told you the good news there. When I left Macedonia, you were the only church that helped me. Several times you sent me things I needed when I was in Thessalonica. Really, it is not that I want to get gifts from you, but I want you to have the benefit that comes from giving. There's a benefit in giving. Verse 17 in King James. not because I desire a gift, but I desire a fruit that may abound to your account. So even when you're struggling, I would encourage you, give, even if it's a little bit. It doesn't matter the amount, it's the heart, it's the attitude with it. If you stop giving because you see lack, then you're not focused on God, and that's why I can guarantee you you're not trusting God. You're not in faith. Because you're more focused on the lack than you are on God. If you're focused on God, you won't cut your giving. Okay? When you stop giving, it's a sign that you've stepped out of the realm of faith and you're now in fear. Because you've got to look after yourself. Okay, let's move on then. Next point. Save for your future in the here and now. Now remember, we said giving, a wise stewardship of giving is a wise stewardship of money is using your money to affect your future eternally and then in the here and now too. So some people think, I'm just going to give into eternity, but I'm not going to think of the rest of my life. It's wise for you to think of the rest of your life. It's wise to invest money, to save money, and to have money available for one day. Because you know what? Saving is preparing for an opportunity. Saving is preparing for an opportunity. So let's say, you know, I heard of this one church that we visited, and they shared the testimony in the States, that, you know, they were saving as a church. And this really encouraged us, you know, to start putting things like this in process too. But they started saving, and after a few years, they had, I don't know how much it was, a couple of million in the bank of savings. So they're quite a big church. And you would think, well, use that money for something. Use it, put it into the kingdom. That was my attitude before that. And I was just like, I would be using that straight away. As it comes in, use it for the kingdom. And then they said, you know, when the recession hit in the States, a big property became available. And I think it was discounted 3 times. It was discounted from like, from $30 million to 7, what they had. They went in and offered what they had. And they took it. And they got this massive, I was on the property, this massive property for a fraction of the price because saving prepared them for an opportunity, which God brought along. You know how I'd been operating up until then, and I'm coming out of that now, is when the opportunity comes, thank you, Father, I release that money in the name of Jesus. You're trusting for a miracle each time. Rather just live in the blessing and don't live from miracle to miracle. Okay? So Deuteronomy 28:8. The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses and all that thou settest thy hand unto. He shall bless you in the land which the Lord thy God gives thee. So he's going to bless your storehouses. Now let's say he blesses you 100-fold. 100 times 0 is 0. You've got to have something in your storehouse for it to be blessed. You've got to have something in your savings for it to be blessed. So start somewhere. Next point, and I'm just going to do it quickly so that we can get onto some other stuff. But another principle from the Word, which is wisdom from the Word, is debt is unwise. You can borrow money to make money, and there's some validity in that, but debt to eat is unwise. Okay? Debt for consumables is unwise. Proverbs 22 verse 7. The rich rule over the poor. The one who borrows is a slave to the one who lends. And so it's not wrong to, you might think it's not wrong to borrow money, but stop paying that person, and then you'll realize that you're their slave. Okay, stop paying Absa and they'll come for you. Okay, another scripture says they'll take the bed from under you. Next point, rich without sorrow. Okay, you cannot increase in prosperity without faith. Okay, God's way of prospering us is without sorrow. Okay, but you need to do it, it takes faith. Okay, we need to be operating in faith. Romans 1:17, the just shall live by faith. Okay, Ephesians 2:8. But by grace we are saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. So we're prospered by grace. It's a free gift through faith. Faith is our part. It's believing God. It's being persuaded of what He said, but it's also being led to action. Okay? Faith without works is dead. James 2 verse 17. So it says, James 2:17, even so faith, if it has not works, is dead. Being alone. So if you really believe that the blessing of God is inside of you, you'll put your hands to something and the blessing will flow. You know, if you really believe that you got a word from God and you need to start a business, You'll do it. Otherwise, you're not going to see the blessing flow. Okay, so acting in faith is important with regard to seeing prosperity increase. When God tells you to do it, do it. Okay? Fully expectant that you'll get the results. Okay? Acting in faith means that that because God says you're blessed, you're now putting your hand to something so that you can see the blessing flow. Okay? Acting in faith means that because God says you're blessed, you're a generous giver. That giving is an act of faith. Work is an act of faith. Work is an act of faith. Okay? You're not trusting your boss for a paycheck. You're trusting God to provide for you. Okay? And that business can be blessed because you're there. And because you're putting your hands to work in that business. So, just to wrap up, if you've got a handout, these questions are there. But I want to encourage you to reflect on these things and make it practical for you in your life. Firstly, how could I trust God more in the area of my finances? And I'll include them more in the area of your giving. Because for some of us, we might be doing good and we don't even need to consider that. But I believe for some people, it's a case of, okay, I need to take a step of faith here and just go for it. I've been reflecting on the statement for a while, and I really believe that you can't outgive God. You can't outgive God. Try it, but do it in faith. Next question. If there's something that I can put my hands to, is there something that I can put my hands to called work? maybe use a talent or an ability to start receiving an extra income. It's something that you need to just pray about and seek. How can I grow in my relationship with God this week? That's got nothing to do with money, but it's seeking first the kingdom of God. It's the starting point. How can you grow in your relationship with God this week? Next question. Am I honoring God by giving to Him first? Or am I giving to, I'm paid on the 25th and I give on the 20th. See what's left over and then I give. Am I being a wise steward by saving a portion of my income for my future? These are things, if you're wanting to be a wise steward and see prosperity increase in your life, these are the things that you've got to consider in your life. Amen. And so, Father, I want to thank you that you have blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. I thank you, Father, that we are blessed, blessed, blessed because of what Jesus has done for us. I thank you, Father, that you've given each and every single one of us skills, talents, abilities, ideas to be able to prosper, Father. I thank you, Father, that for those that are already operating in that sweet spot, using the gifts, the talents, the abilities, I thank you, Father, that as they do it now in faith, more so in faith, as they put their hands to things, they're going to see the blessing flow. I thank you, Father, that as they start to use your wisdom to increase their capacity, they're going to see an increase of prosperity in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Father, for those that are not using the gifts, the talents, the abilities, the ideas, that they're not doing anything. I thank you, Father, that you would just stir them up now by your Spirit to start working their land, to start using their hands to do something practically, so that they can be a blessing to their family, so that they can prepare for their future here in the here and now, and they can start partaking by sowing into eternity, Father. In the name of Jesus, I just thank you, Father, that you stir them up now by your Spirit, that you give them wisdom and creativity and how they can start to just put into practice the things that they are learning. In Jesus' name, I thank you, Father, that we are blessed and that everything we put our hands to prospers. And I pray for all of us that that would become our default mindset. That would become our default confession, that whatever I put my hands to is prospering because I'm blessed. I thank you, Father, that even where we're seeing lack, even where we see things aren't really working out as we would like them to, I thank you that it'll become our default to declare that we are blessed and therefore prosperity comes because we're putting our hands to things in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, that for those that are seeking work, seeking employment, that they would keep knocking on doors. And that you would open the right opportunity to them. But in that process, I thank you, Father, that if there's a gift, a talent, an idea that's inside of them, that you would lead them to the right people for advice, and that they would just start putting their hand to something while they wait for a job, and that they would start prospering by doing something with what you've put in their hands, Father. Thank you, Father, that there's so much favor on our lives, it's impossible for it not to work. There's so much favor on our lives from you, Father, that wherever we go, we experience favor with man. Even when it's unexplainable, we know that it's because of you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
We'd love to hear from you. If you'd like to talk to someone, or if you'd like us to pray with you, please contact us on 021-8800-168 or at info@gracelifeministries.co.za. If you'd like to order more resources or find out more about us, you can visit our website at gracelifeministries.co.za. We'd also love to connect with you on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube.